Welcome to Film School Radio, the on-air online showcase for the best in independent documentary and foreign films, every Friday morning from 9 to 10 a.m. Pacific and online at filmschoolradio.com. I'm your host, Mike Kaspar. Rainey Aronson Roth is the editor-in-chief of and executive producer of Frontline PBS's flagship investigative journalist series, produced by GBH in Boston. Under her leadership, Frontline has evolved into a multi-platform organization, expanded its reporting capacity, and has won every major award in broadcast journalism. It is truly an honor to have with us today the executive producer and editor-in-chief of the premier documentary film series on almost any platform you care to mention, and that would be Rainey Aronson Roth. Rainey, welcome to Film School Radio.
Oh, it's wonderful to be with you. Thank you.
I so appreciate your work over these many years. Let's start where you began as a journalist.
Actually, I started as a print journalist. I was a writer for a local newspaper in Taiwan. I had left to travel overseas and was actually teaching English in the middle part of Taiwan in a small city called Taichung. And then I decided I wanted to be a journalist. So I moved to Taipei and I worked for a small newspaper there. And what happened in the early 90s and mid 90s in Taiwan was nothing short of amazing. It was the first time people were voting in democratic elections. And I was a young cub reporter writing about it. And it just gave me this, a bird's eye view, but essentially one of the most extraordinary experiences as a young person is seeing things happen and writing about them. And that's what I was in the middle of. And it was from there that journalism as my career really took off. I had other ideas in my early 20s, but that was really where I became a journalist. And then where documentary meets filmmaking meets journalism is a later story, but happy to go there too.
Definitely want to hear about that part of your story or your career. That's a remarkable story for so many reasons, the context of the world in which Taiwan exists. The short doc that we saw at the screening for 20 Days in Mariupol about Taiwan, which I thought was utterly fascinating. I don't remember the name of it right off the top of my head. Yeah. I'm sorry.
Film. Yeah, one of the, just loved his short film. So many amazing short films this year. And Leo's film was one of my favorites too. Just really thought it was so strong.
It very much was. Were you always a fan of documentary film? Was it something, or filmmaking in general? Where did that love of this kind of storytelling begin for you?
So for me, actually, because I was a writer and I was a journalist, I had a moment that was really remarkable as a journalism student at Columbia School of Journalism, Graduate School of Journalism. I moved back from Taiwan and I needed to work. So I was a person who was going to school during the day, but I really needed to get a job. And because I had language skills, right, at the time I spoke, I wouldn't say fluent, but good, passable Mandarin and also Hindi from earlier travels in India and my studies and as an undergraduate, I was hired as a translator on a documentary series in the overnight shift. And actually, it was one of those things where I just did it as a job, right? I was sure I was going to be a writer. But then I wandered into this edit room with an assistant editor. And it was like this light bulb moment for me that a lot of us have had in our careers, right? Where you realize, oh, this is the forum that I need to be working in. At the time, because it's the mid-90s, right? The newspaper industry was pretty secure at that time. You know, for me to say that I wanted to go from being a writer to a documentary filmmaker was a sort of big dramatic thing to say, especially to my advisor at the time at Columbia, Seymour Topping, and I talked a lot about it. The documentary industry that we know today was in its nascent days too, right, in terms of current affairs. And so I just, as that moment, could tell that there was something different happening for me in that documentary film suite. And I'll share a moment that was one of these things that happens. You know, when you're in your career, you have these bumps along the road. But I was always there in the morning when the producers would come in and they would be perplexed, like, why are you still here? And then one day, the main director of the whole series, David Royal, who went on to run Smithsonian, you know, they were basically saying to me, like, hey, you're not the best translator, but, you know, would you want to be a PA? It was one of those funny moments where you think you're going to get fired, but actually he's offering me something that was a much better fit for me because, translation is a special thing, right? And you have to be an excellent linguist or really fluent to do it well. But, I turned out to be a really solid and very inspired PA. So that's where my career took off.
Fantastic. Were there any foundational documentary films during that period of time? Because the 90s, I'm thinking of Errol Morris. I'm thinking of, people like that were
Yeah,
Barbara
Errol.
Koppel that were
Yeah,
making documentary films that were really impactful. Was there a particular film or two that just kicked it into a whole nother level for you?
I feel like it's almost a cliche, but I will share with you that I was at the premiere of Hoop Dreams at the Film Forum
Oh, there you
as
go.
a young student sitting in the back, and I was so intimidated by the scene. I was really young, very new to documentary film, right? I wasn't even a film person yet. Also, just to share with you a personal note, I didn't grow up with a television, so it wasn't like I had studied film growing up or had was a film buff at all. But I happened to get a ticket to go to the Film Forum, and I watched Hoop Dreams. Steve James was there for the talk back. I couldn't believe what I was hearing. I honestly, it was one of those great moments where I've told Steve later when I had a chance to work with him. We've done a few films together, especially the film Abacus, which was Oscar nominated together, right? I was the EP on that with other amazing executive producers as well. I really, really didn't stop talking about that film for like 5 years. My friends were really sick of it. It was like I kept talking about Steve's film, and I shared that story with him later, and just meaningful for me to then be able to work with somebody like Steve.
There's something about that era, the 90s, and I'm thinking of a PBS series called The 90s, which I absolutely love. I fell in love with that. There's something else about being a documentary filmmaker that has always struck me as something close to monastic, because you're working on something that you have no idea whether or not it's actually going to come to anything. You work on it for years and years and years, and you hope that somebody's interested in seeing it. You don't know that to be the case. Sound about right?
Yeah, I mean, I do think what we do, so what we do at Frontline and the work that I've really found like what my calling is, right? Which is really investigative journalism meets documentary film, I think is even more so. I think, people who work in investigative journalism and people who make documentary films are a certain type. I think they believe in what they do so deeply that they sort of almost have blinders on. The best filmmakers have blinders on as they're making films. They just so believe in the characters at the heart of it. They so believe that these stories need to be heard. And I do believe, so many years in now, that it takes that kind of dedication to do the sort of exemplary, excellent work that we see out in the world now. Also, think an artistic field, I think you need to have that kind of passion and inspiration to do the best work. I mean, look at Barbara Koppel's body of work, right? Any one of those primary big, champions of this work and makers of this work have just they're just so dedicated. It is like to me one of the hardest careers that you could have, but also very gratifying too when you see audiences respond to your work and have conversations around your work and change happens and things are propelled forward. I think there's so much power in the work that we all do collectively.
My undying admiration for documentary filmmakers for just that, what you just described. There is something about a sixth sense that they have about a story, whether or not it is going to be worth pursuing. And so often, I mean, I hear and see the ones that worked, and I can only imagine how many of them come to nothing and all the time is put in, but they're still ready to do it. They're ready to devote themselves to it. It's really, truly a remarkable trait. For these people who do what they do. Well, which brings me to the part of the conversation that I'm sure that you will never get tired of talking about, which is the recent success as executive producer, as well as being such an integral part of the 20 Days in Mariupol, the recognition it received as an Academy Award for Best Documentary this year. You, along with Associated Press, congratulations for your work on this.
Oh, thank you. Thank you so much. I have to say the collaboration with the AP was nothing short of just incredible. I do need to say that Mstislav Sharonov is the director and producer, and Michelle Meisner, myself, and Daryl McCrudden were producers on this film. It was a very small, really cohesive team of people who worked on this. And there was a beauty to that too. You know, we both have big institutions, but the actual collaboration, really led by Mstislav, obviously, was one of the best and most gratifying, you know, creative and editorial experiences I've certainly had. But it really starts with the AP. I want to just say that it's important to note that their dedication to the journalists in the field during this time that they were in Mariupol, Frontline was not involved with. So we got involved with Mstislav and the AP right after Mstislav was able to escape and get out of Mariupol, as you see in the film. So he was able to get out of Mariupol with his team. And then we spoke to him just a couple of days after he was able to get out of Mariupol. And then that's when the film discussion started with me and Michelle Meisner, who I mentioned is one of the producers, but also the editor of the film, and Daryl and Mstislav himself.
Absolutely. And just to also kind of shine a light on the work being done by the Associated Press and how important they are. I think it's one of those organizations, news organizations, journalism, that is often overlooked, but in fact, they're very, very important because their information is usually multi-sourced. They're a very powerful voice for dispelling misinformation, disinformation. They've been very, very, very good in terms of the organization, the way it's set up. I just saw a documentary that I just love. It's called How to Build a Truth Engine. It's the work of Friedrich Moser. And he talked in the film, they talk about how are we going to be able to combat misinformation, disinformation. And Associated Press came up with something that model as something that is helpful for all of us to be supporting.
Yeah, I think that's a great point. One of the additional points to that is that if you look at their model, right, the model of the AP, that's true for other wire services as well, like Reuters and others. So if you look at the work of these services that basically publish into newspapers and news organizations all around the world, right, regardless of their partisan belief, it's also a way to say that we're sharing facts, right? Yes. So their journalists on the ground publish into so many different news organizations, whether it's digital, broadcast, whatever it is, right? Use the AP as their source.
Yeah.
Their source materials are AP. So it's the only way in which we can share facts and a reality right now, especially up against, as you mentioned, dis- and misinformation. So it's really one of these things where you're looking at like what still exists that holds back disinformation. And I would argue the AP is a big part of that, you know?
Yeah. Amen. Yeah. Oftentimes when there's election nights or important events, it's when they say Associated Press is calling the election for so-and-so. That's usually the time when the confidence in that information is highest.
That trust is everything, right? So yeah. the trust in the source, the trust in the reporting, you know, once that starts to break down is what we see now, where people are just in their silos. They're in their news feeds that aren't even really news, right? And so I think, yeah, it's a key component to you know, hopefully sharing a reality going forward.
Just want to remind our listeners, we're speaking with Rainey Aronson Roth. She is the editor-in-chief and executive producer of Frontline, PBS's flagship investigative journalism series, and just also won an award last night at the New York Women in Film and Television, the Muse Awards, and you were given an award for that, the Enid Roth Award for Excellence in Journalism. Congratulations on that.
Yeah, thank you. I mean, first of all, Enid is an incredible woman in her own right, and I got to meet one of her closest friends yesterday. That was really gratifying to see women. We stand on their shoulders. I was inside this incredible, you know, environment with all of these really, really thoughtful, powerful women. And I have to say, people like Cynthia Lopez and Leslie Field Cruz, they're just really inspiring to me as well. So it was a great day with them.
Congratulations. Congratulations. And I can't let you get away without telling you how much I admire the work that you do on Frontline and so many
Thank
other
you.
PBS platforms, the Independent Lens, POV,
Oh,
American
yeah.
Experience. It has truly become, for me, the definitive platform for documentary films consistently. There are other great ways to see documentary films, no doubt, but when you look at your core group of grouping of programs and platforms, it's amazing what you and at PBS have been doing.
Well, I have to give a special shout out to Nova. They're 50 this
Oh,
year.
thank you,
And
Noah.
I just love, I love that we, you know, I do believe that we're all trying to innovate, those of us who run these series that are now, you know, Frontline's 41 years old and Nova is 50. The reason that these still work is these are enduring ideas, right? I was thinking about Nova, for example, and thinking to myself, you know, how they, you know, Nova educated my kids about science, right? My kids are now in their teens, but like we have to treasure that there's still programming out there that's, you know, both really thoughtful, innovative, but also can educate us, right? It's really important to all of us who care about learning and progress.
Thank you for bringing up Nova, and I think I left out American Masters as well as
Yeah.
another.
And the news hour, like we could go on, right? But that's really important too, you know, all of our programming, but it is inspiring that our work is still out there and people are finding us on new platforms now. You know, Frontline's obviously, you know, in front of all paywalls, so streams for free. And I think that's another thing that just to note is that this work is available to all people. Really important.
Absolutely. And I just have recently been doing film interviews or filmmaker interviews with people from World Channel and Afropop, which are two other, I'll call them subsidiaries of the PBS family. Just been beginning to explore World Channel and the work that they do. There are places for people to go to see great documentary work. People that provides context to these complex issues that we're all dealing with, whether it be in the field of social or political or cultural or whatever it might be. There is a this wonderful place where we can gather around whatever device you're watching and watch some remarkable work that tells us a little bit more about a world that we should know. And thank you for all of it.
Oh, definitely. Thank you too for your interest in our work and just championing documentary filmmaking in particular. We need all the champions we can get.
Yeah, thank you. As someone who interviews close to 100, 150 different documentary filmmakers every year, it's I live and breathe this world, and it's become such an important part of my life. And I hope through all of your work, it more and more people are tuning in and being entertained and educated as well.
Well, thanks for everything. And thanks for talking to filmmakers across the spectrum of what we do. Because I do believe that to your point with, you know, the fact that people dedicate themselves for so many years for these films, right? With the hope that people will watch and they'll be impactful. You're part of that, right? Puzzle
Thank you.
of talking to us, you know, and listening to us and helping us.
Thank you. We've been talking with the editor-in-chief and the executive producer of Frontline, award-winning show on PBS, and that would be Rainey Aronson Roth. Rainey, thank you so very much for your time today.
Yeah, you too. Thanks again. I appreciate it.
You've been listening to Film School Radio, the on-air online showcase for the best in independent documentary and foreign films. You can find out more about the program at filmschoolradio.com. I'm your host, Mike Kaspar. Thank you for tuning in, and we'll see you next week with another edition of Film School Radio.